Hi everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting EXIT PLAN with no spaces to 44222. That's EXIT PLAN to 44222. Again, text EXIT PLAN to 44222.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for joining me today. Hey, my first guest today is Philip Arthurs. He's an investor, entrepreneur, CPA, and evangelist for acquisition entrepreneurship. He's spreading the word about why buying an existing business is the best way to become an entrepreneur and how it's more affordable than many people think. And as the host of the Business Miner podcast, Philip delivers gold nuggets to aspiring entrepreneurs, and he's excited to share with us today helpful tips for finding, analyzing, and closing on business deals. He's helping people become the entrepreneur everyone admires and respects. Welcome to the show, Philip. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you for having me on the show today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. It's an interesting topic. I think a lot of people want to hear about it. If you would, start off by tell us a little bit about you and your background and how you became the business miner.
Sure. I'll be glad to do that. So, I'm a CPA, and I have a master's of accountancy, and I've served in both public and private practices. And so I worked for two of the top CPA firms in the country in all kinds of capacities. But towards the end there, my time in public practice, I was a turnaround consultant, actually. I helped numerous clients turn around failing businesses. Or if we couldn't turn them around, we would end up, you know, helping them dissolve. And a lot of times it was just restructuring debt, things like that. So did that. And when the economy started improving a little bit more, there was more transactions going on. So I switched gears a little bit and started doing more on the transaction advisory side, helping clients in buy side due diligence. I was recruited out of public practice by a really large client and became their CFO to help fulfill their turnaround plan. And it's the plan that I actually helped them construct. And during that time, we bought and sold multiple businesses. So got a lot of experience doing that from that capacity as well. It was a different speed, though, actually doing it for my own business as opposed to doing it for clients. So I really enjoyed that a lot. During that time, we grew the EBITDA of that company 560%, and we doubled revenue in less than 6 years. And that company just recently sold, and so now I'm working towards coaching up an army of qualified small business buyers. And I've actually even built a solid team of guys that I'm going to work with to raise capital and purchase businesses in about the $1 million to $10 million in revenue range. So That's just my little background there, how I became a business miner.
That's great. There's a lot of businesses that are coming up for sale. Obviously, a lot of baby boomers out there, and a lot of them are in a place where that I talk to, they're in a place of saying, I just don't know if I can get what I need to get for it right now. I need to drive that EBITDA up. I need to drive those revenues and profits up. What are some of the key things that you can tell our listeners about you know, the situations you find a lot of people in that where they're maybe holding themselves back, and maybe some things that you find that you can help them do?
Yeah, I mean, prime example. So, you know, I put in multiple offers on businesses recently, and actually went to the guy's office to talk to him, me and a guy that I partner with who has a ton of M&A experience as well. But we went up there and talked to him, and his books and records were horrible. He lived out of the business. He didn't report all of his earnings, and expected us to pay based on what he actually made in the business, which we'd love to do, but we have no way to really verify that. You know, it was, a lot of it was cash. It never went to the bank accounts. It didn't hit his P&L. It wasn't on his tax return. So I know there's a lot of people that live out of their businesses, and I get that. But, you know, I'd say limit the amount of for at least 3 years. You need to have solid books and records if you want to get a fair valuation.
Yeah, because you're telling somebody, hey, trust me, this is a great business, and the of course the buyer's saying, well, show me, or why should I trust you? I mean, you're trying to get a large valuation out of this business. But a lot of owners, you know, of course they try to do things, and maybe, you know, they go to their CPA like you to kill their taxes as much as possible at the end of each year. And so
right. When
it comes time to, that's why you always say, yeah, you need that. You need 3 years to get your business ready for sale. It's a great business for you. Mm-hmm. It's a little money machine, but to a buyer, they've got, you know, you've got competition. You've got other people that are selling their businesses too. So you're not the only one in the bidding room. So you need to stand out and look great to a buyer, right?
Absolutely. And when we go and look at a business, we look at the industry, we do some research. There's typically some sort of multiple of EBITDA or seller's discretionary earnings. And we want to offer a fair for that. And that's how I coach my students. Like we can go in and offer a fair price, but so that you got a pretty constant multiple. The only other thing that's really going to change is that net income EBITDA number. And if you don't report all your earnings, you're really messing yourself over.
Right, right. But that means paying taxes. So a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to pay tax. Well, you can't have it both ways a lot of the time. So one of the things that you're doing that's really cool is you're helping business sellers through your podcast and coaching program. Tell us about those offerings.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, I was a CFO of this really large company, and we ended up selling. So I'm no longer doing that, and I'm focusing full-time on coaching people. I have two guys that I'm working with right now, so it's relatively new. I have a lot of experience in it, but my actual coaching program out on my own is relatively new. So I've got a couple guys I'm working with right now, and my podcast will release. I've already recorded a bunch of episodes, but I have not released it yet. That'll be releasing probably beginning of 2021, January 2021. And I'm going to interview people who have actually bought businesses. I'm also interviewing turnaround advisors, M&A tax guys, M&A attorneys, and a lot of these, I'd say majority of these guys that I'm interviewing that are in those kind of roles right now have actually bought businesses themselves. I mean, the M&A attorney that I'm interviewing, he's one of the guys that's he's going to be on our team of guys that I put together to go out and buy our own businesses, but he's bought several companies. So he's got not only experience with helping clients, but also in his own business acquisitions. So the team that I'm pulling together, it's going to be a phenomenal team. And they're also going to help out on the coaching program side. So I'll be bringing in people that are much smarter than I am to help with certain specific things. So the goal of the coaching program is to get people in, and we're going to help them find deals. How do you find these deals? And then how do you fund them? And believe it or not, Bill, you can actually buy a business with little to no money out of your own pocket. And so, you know, with an element of seller financing.
Gary Beck.
And then we're going to help them walk them through the closing process, because you've got your preliminary due diligence and then you've got your confirmatory due diligence. So someone that comes into our coaching program should expect to come out with having multiple offers made on businesses and hopefully getting really close towards pulling the trigger on buying a business. And we're gonna help with helping people find funding for their business. So we're gonna go the extra mile with people. And then after they complete that coaching program, they will have be they will have the opportunity to enter into a mastermind group to get, okay, now we've bought a business, now what are we going to do next? So kind of coach them through, you got a business, now how do you make that business thrive?
That's great. You're helping both sides of the party. A lot of these business owners, of course, it's going to be their first and only time selling a business, where if they can listen to people who have bought or sold many businesses, they can learn from their mistakes. That's always very valuable. Are you yourself looking to purchase businesses in this endeavor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And through the coaching program, we might find a candidate that we feel like would be a good fit for us to work with, and we might actually help fund that candidate's business acquisition, and we would come in with an equity stake into that business. Or if there's, you know, any of your listeners that are looking to sell, about ready to sell, we would certainly love the opportunities. We're looking for businesses in the million to 10 million in revenue range, and I really don't care about what industry. We like to look at everything. That 1 to 10 million is important, because once you get over 10 million in revenue, you start getting the big dogs start looking at it, they'll price
true.
You out. So that's why and then the million is important, because there's a lot of hurdles that you have to overcome to get to a million, and the research shows that, I think it was Vern Harnish with Scaling Up, he had mentioned that only 4% of businesses ever make it to over a million in revenue. So that's I like that million to 10 million sweet spot.
Yeah, you can find a lot of potential gems there, and maybe even merge a couple businesses together and make a bigger business and sell it yourself. That's a great idea. So what are you looking for management-wise? A lot of those smaller businesses have an owner that wears many hats. Are you looking for any particular management structure, key people, that type of thing in those kind of deals?
Obviously, it's a much better deal if there's good management in place, and we do prefer that. But part of the vision on the coaching program is we might get a guy or a gal in that wants to buy a business. Maybe they don't know what they want, and we find a really good opportunity, and they're okay being an owner manager, and we could put them in that management spot and coach them through running that business. So the group of guys I've assembled will act as like a board of directors in a way. We'll also be in charge of raising money on the back end from limited partners to invest in these bigger deals. So there's a lot of different opportunities, a lot of different ways we can look at it. So we're not picky. I just say the 1 to 10 million in revenue is important. But outside of that, and then we would probably look at some less than a million, because we'll have students that'll want those kind of opportunities.
Okay. So, what advice would you provide to business owners looking to exit their business, say, in the next 3 to 10 years, which is a lot of our audience, by the way?
Next 3 to 10 years. Well, if you don't have a really good CPA, get one. Make sure your books and records are clean. If you can afford an audit, I'm thinking audit would be a good thing. Just make sure your books are in great shape, because when you get into the due diligence side, especially on the confirmatory side, and you're sitting there and you've got an advisor in there sifting through your records, and things don't start adding up, the buyer starts losing confidence. The price, might have to be adjusted to get some of that confidence back. So that's one thing. Another thing is, I've seen a lot of deals killed by attorneys. There's a lot of good attorneys out there, don't get me wrong, but my advice is down with the seller and the buyer and the seller need to sit down, and they need to have a discussion. What's important to each party? Try to get it on paper. We've actually got a free letter of intent template out there for your listeners if they want it, on thebusinessminer.com/exit. And we'll provide that out there. And there's also a link for a schedule a free 30-minute consultation. So if somebody's looking to sell, business, they can schedule a call with us to discuss that as well.
Let me backtrack a second.
Yeah,
Well, let me backtrack a second, and then we'll come back to that. One of the things you said was make sure you have a good CPA. How do I know if I have a good CPA, Philip?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, a good CPA should contact with you throughout the year. They should almost act as if they owned your business. They should have your best interest in heart at heart. They're usually not very cheap, so that's the the downside. But you know, a good the tax guy we used at the company I just left, he saved us thousands and thousands of dollars over and above what we paid for his services. So a good CPA is going to save you money and have your best interest at heart. I think people typically can tell if they've got a good one. That's what I would think. But
One thing I found is CPAs aren't mind readers, so they don't know, if you're getting serious about wanting to exit your business in the next few years, you need to tell them, right? Because that might change how they do things quite a bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that in public practice, hearing a partner down the hall, like, golly, I can't believe they didn't tell me they were selling or they were getting ready to buy a business. Like, if you were thinking about buying or selling a business, you 100% need to go talk to your advisor today, your CPA, and let them know, because there's all kinds of tax considerations and just you'd be better off getting ahead of that. So I agree with that. And then to my second point, I also wanted to add that once you've got everything in place with agreement on terms and everything, then look at attorney involved towards the end. After everything's been hashed out, you've sat down, you've had a conversation with the other person. Too many acquisitions are cold. They're cold. You've got – and it's geared – the way acquisitions, for the most part, in this small business space in our country, the way it's geared, you'll have a lot of times there's a broker involved, and they're listing the business for sale, and maybe they have an attorney. Then you got a buyer, right, who may not be – and may not be able to afford, buying services from a buy-side advisor or having an attorney to help them. So a lot of times the buyer's left with working with the seller's broker, and the seller's broker has the seller's best interest at heart, right? And
right.
So is the attorney. So everything's geared more towards the seller, and the buyer is over here left kind of on an island and left to feel process, and they get a lot of cold feet. The research shows that 70-80% of businesses that try to sell ultimately never close. They just fall flat.
Yeah,
no succession
I've heard
plan
that.
In place.
Yeah,
there's no succession plan. There's nobody that wants or can or has the ability to buy the business. And I was in the middle of negotiations with this guy to buy his business, about a $1.3 million in revenue business, and he just was hard to deal with, really hard. He's just – so that's another thing. Just don't be hard to – if you're trying to sell a business, don't be hard to deal with, because I felt like he was hiding stuff. I felt like the business wasn't – the value wasn't as high as he said it was, because I just didn't feel right about it. So I ended up not closing on that deal, so –
it probably depends on who the buyer conversation, where that starts, because a lot of people get phone calls, right? I want to buy your business.
Yep.
And if they start down the road, they're nervous that somebody's just trying to figure out what I do so they can steal it from me. And that's where, that, as you say, that the first discussions, you can make it or break it in those first discussions.
Yep.
So we got like a minute left. Give us one last tip on that. When you first get into a conversation, try to hash out those high-level letter of intent details, and then get everybody on the same page before getting an attorney involved. Then what happens, real quick?
Yes. Well, once the attorney gets involved, really he should be able to take that LOI and draft a document that any kind of situation, people want to work with other people they like. So having those two parties come together, get comfortable with each other, like each other, me as a buyer, I have to make the seller comfortable that I'm going to take his baby that he's grown for years, and I'm going to take care of it, and I'm going to take care of his people, and I'm not going to let his business die. So that's my responsibility. I think the seller responsibility, they need to be easy to work with, you know, share their records, you know, and be truthful, forthcoming, and not get an attorney involved till towards the very end when both parties have agreed. That I think that's a big deal, because I've seen a lot of deals killed by everything being so cold.
And it takes a lot.
Emails bounce. You're negotiating with a computer at that point.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work to sell your business, so you better be ready for sale when the opportunity comes along, and that's where Philip Arthur's The Business Miner comes in. And listen to The Business Miner, that's M-I-N-E-R, podcast. And Philip, how else can they get in touch with you? What's the website?
Yeah, the website is thebusinessminer.com. There will be a page on our website, thebusinessminer.com/exit, where this show will be hosted on my website. And there'll be some freebies out there for your listeners. And anything I can do to help, I'm glad to help. I like to be a go-giver. And anything I can do to help will be my pleasure.
Sure. Happy to meet you. Thanks so much for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure. I hope you'll come back again. We have a lot more to discuss, Philip. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill. It was a pleasure. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, and thank you for listening. It's a pleasure to have you with me today. You know, we interview a lot of great guests on a lot of great topics. Hope you'll check us out at exitcoachradio.com. My guest is Amy Razdel. She traded her corporate job for consulting 15 years ago and makes more money than most executives. She works and plays every day. Like the sound of that, Amy founded Billable at the Beach to liberate six-figure earners by helping them build six-figure consulting businesses. And Amy is passionate about helping others find the freedom and flexibility to live the life of their dreams without sacrificing the career they've spent so long building. She's going to talk about decoding independent consulting. It's easier than you think. Welcome, Amy. Thanks so much for joining me.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to speak to you today and all of your folks out there.
Well, my pleasure. It's great to have you. It's a really interesting what you've done, and I think a lot of our business owner listeners are at some point or another during a day daydreaming about being billable at the beach. So I'm fascinated to hear about that. I know you've been doing this for quite a while. Tell us a little bit more about you and your background, Amy.
Sure. I got started with my independent consulting business more than 15 years ago, but before that, I was a corporate type. I am a Silicon kid. I grew up in Silicon Valley. My dad was an early Silicon semiconductor guy, so I grew up surrounded by technology and startups. I really didn't realize there were any other options other than technology startups. So I started my professional life as a software engineer. I wrote code for a few years. I went to business school. Out of business school, I lucked into the world of medical devices. My long-term goal was to be a startup CEO. So I set about getting all of my corporate experience. I jumped off and did some startups. I have since decided being a CEO is overrated and underpaid, and I really love being an independent consultant. And now helping other people find this great career and life.
That's great. You know, a lot of people, obviously because of the recent events of COVID, are now thinking about, well, heck, I can live anywhere, I guess, if I can work remotely. But a lot of our listeners are in a different, I guess. They're experienced, very experienced in what they do. They can probably turn that into a revenue stream if they can get unstuck from their businesses. But I think what a lot of them are wondering is they don't have the time to research how to do it, what's changed since maybe 30 years ago or 20 years ago when they started their business, what's available on the internet. What do you need these days to get started in independent consulting?
So here's kind of a shocking thing. It's easier than you think to get started, and here's a spoiler alert for all of the people out there. You already have everything you need. So you need brain power, business experience, which you have. So for me, I started it in the corporate world, but all of you out there have significant business experience. You need a phone and you need a computer. That's all you need. The most important thing of that is you need fairly deep experience or expertise in some area, which owning your own business gives you. And what I really like to see people do and what I help people do is become a superhero with a superpower, making super pay. That's the goal of consulting. And it's much easier than you think.
Love that. That's easy. So, you know, one of the things that's changed so much in the last several years is the availability to sell your services via the internet to an international audience. And I think we saw that kind of begin with a website called Fiverr, and there were others that allowed for people to consult and find gigs. That's what these consulting things are called, and find gigs all over the world for their particular expertise. So I think one of the things that's really changed is a lot of people think, well, if I retire, I need to go get another job. I need to go be a starter at a golf course or a greeter at Walmart. And it's just not like that anymore. Tell us a little bit about some of those sites and tools and things that are out there and some of the revelations that you tell people where they go, I didn't know that.
So, yes, I work with a lot of people who are sort of retiring for what they considered their mainstream career, whether they're leaving their business, which may have them tied more to a location or geography, or whether they're leaving their corporate career and they're not ready to go be a greeter at Walmart. And they're not ready. They have still so much more they want to share. And if they can continue to make money doing it, why not? I'm going to throw in just an interesting little tidbit there, and that is some of my people who are retiring feel a little reluctant about making too much money, which to some people might sound silly, but they may not need to make all the money anymore. So I encourage them, go ahead and make the money you can, and if you have some to share, then you decide who you give it to, right? That's an exciting piece that can open up as well. But Here's the thing, Bill. I think the most important thing in almost any business is relationships. So even with all of the tools and things on the internet, it really comes back to relationships. So I don't, in terms of building the business and getting it going, you don't really need a lot of those tools. You really get started with what you know, simple things, and the relationships that you already have, that really makes your foundation. Once you have that foundation out of the things that you already have, then the world is yours, expanding with those tools, delivering your services remotely, working remotely, all of those things. But to get started, I want to make sure that nobody is scared thinking that they have to dive into all those internet tools. You really start with the foundation of your knowledge, your relationships, business and otherwise, and just very simple tools that you're already familiar with.
You know, I've talked to several people that have had businesses for many years, and they really desire to do this. They really desire to shed themselves of all of the complexities of running the business and all the people problems, and they just get out there by themselves. But they have some hesitation because they think there might be a perception issue. Maybe it's between their ears is where the problem is, that, well, I was a company and now I'm an individual. How's that going to look? How do I communicate that to my potential customers out there?
So I think that's a really big one. So I want to make two important points. First point is going independent, shedding all of that stuff, it doesn't mean that you make less money. It very possibly means that you end up with more money because you're shedding a lot of things that cost money and time. So number one is it's very possible, likely, that you will end up with more money. And I think people do worry about that kind of, this is a dive off the career path, or off my business path and how I've been known. And it's a wonderful career path. You can affect and impact so many different businesses. A lot of us have so much passion for the people that we serve, especially those of us who have built our own businesses. We really have our blood, sweat, tears, heart, and soul sunk into it. So now, instead of serving this customer, it opens up this whole universe. And as you're saying, if you want to utilize some of the internet tools, global impact of all the people you can impact and lift up with your services that you offer, it's really an expansion, not a contraction. And I think that's the way we all need to look at it.
That's great. Great advice. Very, very interesting. What do you think the best things about being an independent consultant are, Amy?
They're a little different for everybody, but for me, freedom, flexibility, and control. So I get to control when I work, where I work, how I work, how much money I make, who I work with, what I do. So I have young children who are school age. So I get to spend time with them. So my choice is I typically work half my work hours during the day and half at night. I like to work and play every day. If you happen to drive past, I live in San Diego, Mission Bay, every other Friday morning, if you see somebody ski by, water skiing, not snow skiing, Mission Bay, obviously, give me a wave, because that's me every other Friday morning. when we go on vacation to Hawaii, which I don't think anybody's doing right at this moment, you know, I put the kids down for a nap in the afternoon. My husband goes surfing. While the kids are asleep, I get out my computer and work for a couple hours. But it's all my choice. So if that sounds horrifying to you and you want to work 9 to 5, no weekends, no vacations, then you can do it. It's completely up to you how you want to design and structure your life. And that, I think, is the biggest thing. And it translates into something a little bit different for everybody.
That's great. And that takes some getting used to for a lot of people, that they have actually freedom during their weekday. So what do you think is the hardest part of building a successful consulting business?
There's no question. The hardest part is keeping a steady pipeline full of high quality projects. So the hardest part for everybody, and I think this is true of many businesses, honestly, networking, marketing, business development, you really have to develop, along with all this freedom and flexibility comes discipline also. I'm sorry to break the bad news to all of you.
Darn,
to have the discipline,
there's a D word.
There's a business development engine, your sales engine, and you really can never take your foot off the gas. So you have to keep a little bit foot on the pedal all the time. So I have all these little things that I say all the time that I want people to just hear. I want them to hear me saying it in their head every day when they wake up. Never let a day go by without doing something, networking, marketing, business development. Every day, spend at least an hour. Can you spend an hour? Yes. I spend an hour at the gym. You can spend an hour just doing a little bit every single day. There's a certain amount of momentum that if you give it just a little push, and I'm saying every single day, of course, you can go on vacation or take a weekend off, but you can't take weeks off. You always have to keep that pressure on. And if you do, then it works. But that's always the hardest part for everybody.
That's a really good point. I think a lot of people that I hear from, they get busy and they stop doing business development because I think, well, I'm busy, but then the project ends and they're back to from hero to zero. So it makes a lot of sense. Now you have a free course, 3 action steps to generate revenue now. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I have been teaching this course for more than 10 years since I've had Billable at the Beach. And it's 3 simple steps. And I told you a little while ago, you already have everything you need: computer, phone, brain power, business experience. It's 3 simple steps that you can implement. I have a free email course available at my website, which is billableatthebeach.com. Three simple steps that you can implement in about 10 days that give you a very high probability of landing one or more projects. This is a system that I've been teaching for more than 10 years, and it makes the foundation of my own business development system. I do these exact steps every quarter. So it's a great way to get started, whether you're out there thinking, yes, I want to do this, I'm ready to dive in, or you're thinking, I'm running my business, I'm thinking about other things, I just want to stick a toe in the water. That's also a fine way to get started.
That's terrific. Now, the types of businesses, are there any particular types of businesses that this does not work for that you can think of? I know, obviously, things where you have to be maybe on site to do something. It'd be hard to be a independent consultant for hair cutting, but maybe you could do design, I guess. But are there any businesses that this would not work for?
Yeah, so it's interesting. The hair cutting one is one that I always think of too. So, and as far as being on site, you can choose to be on site if you want to. So if you want, I choose to work completely remotely because I enjoy that lifestyle. But there are people who travel, who, you know, visit clients all over the country or the world and choose to do on site. So you may offer some type of services in your specific industry sector where you're going to help people do strategic planning. So maybe you're going to go and spend 1 to 3 days on site with somebody a couple times a month and then do all of your prep and background. So there really aren't very many industries or functional areas, whether it be sales or marketing or finance, that don't work. Almost everything works, except, like you say, you know, car mechanic, hair cutting, chef, those may not, although chef, there's personal chefs. So there are very few places where it doesn't work, Bill.
That's really, really great information, because I think a lot of our listeners, Amy, are especially at a point where maybe they want to leave their business behind as it is and maybe monetize that somehow or turn it over to family members or key employees, you know, exit their business, but they don't want to be out of the game of business. And business, you know, having something that they can do that they know and that they can contribute that's valuable to others is really important. How much of this is selling intellectual property? Would you advise people to start thinking about maybe writing books about what they do as well, or manuals? It sounds like you've created a course out of what you do, you know, to teach people how to do not particularly what you do specifically, but how you do it independently. Would you recommend that people start writing and putting together intellectual materials that they can pass out as well?
Yeah, so I would characterize that as content, creating content that you're an expert in. Oftentimes, that content that you create ends up being more of a marketing and promotion exercise than a revenue source in and of itself. Although, I suppose it depends on your area. If there's a market for selling content or books or subscriptions to in a particular industry, in many cases, though, what you're going to sell is your expert services. The way that you start to demonstrate that and build your name and your brand is by generating articles or videos or books or ebooks, getting on podcast interviews, things like that to make yourself known and really adding your expertise to places. So that's absolutely a component of building your business, although it's more like I said, for marketing and promotion at the start than a revenue source of itself, but it may go there over time.
Great, great input. Really interesting topic. I really enjoyed talking with you, and thank you for joining me today. And I want to tell our listeners again, the website is Billable at the Beach, all one word, billableatthebeach.com. Go there like I did. You'll love it. A lot of great information there. And take Amy's free course, The 3 Action Steps to Generate Revenue Now, and learn more about what she's up to. Amy, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show.
Great. Thanks so much for having me, Bill, and thanks to all of you for listening.
All right. Thanks, and thank you out there for listening. It's been a pleasure to have you with us so far today, but we're not quite done. We have one more guest for you. My next guest is Angelo Poli. He's the founder of MetPro, an evaluation-based health coaching program specializing in physical transformations. And today he's going to talk about the metabolism and the ecosystem of transforming, understanding the role nutrition, exercise, and your personal metabolism play in transforming. Through this topic, you'll learn the best starting actions a person can take and who wants to improve their body or health. I think we all want to do that. Angelo, tell us a little bit more about you. And first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you having me. This will be fun.
I think there's a lot of people out there with COVID, extra COVID 19 plus or more, and so they're ready to start transforming and thinking about this. I'm fascinated about the topic and especially your approach to it. Tell us a little bit more about you and your background.
Well, I really come from very humble beginnings. I was just one of those guys that was interested in health and fitness as a young man, and little bit at a time, momentum just drugged me into really doing executive makeovers, corporate wellness, things like that, really working with specialty transformation projects. And now that's what our company, MetPro, does, is we help people with the science to change their physiques, to improve their health, to improve their lifestyle, with an emphasis on metabolic science, understanding the metabolism. And so that's what I've been doing now for 20 years. I've had the privilege of dieting almost 20,000 people, and I'm still learning more every day. I love it.
That is one of the mysteries, I think, because we all, you know, we think back, take myself, for example, I've put on more than my COVID-19 pounds. And, you know, I think about, well, I've lost it before, but I gained it back. What am I missing? You know, so let's start with where does someone begin who wants to transform? What's the mindset got to be? What do they have to be thinking?
So the two components that are most critical, and this is whether we're working with pro athletes or we're working with executives, the same two components are critical, and that is to know the path, to have the science and the steps laid out, and then to execute with speed. So I'll dive in just briefly on each. When I say know the path, you Google weight loss. I mean, that's the most common thing people will hire us for is, look, I don't want to mess around. I want to lose the weight. I don't want any gimmicks. I know if I, you know, just, you know, drink water and juice for 2 weeks, I'll lose weight. I don't want that. I want it real gone. And so they'll call us up and they'll say, okay, I'm reading about low-carb dieting. I'm reading about calorie control. I'm reading about supplementation. I'm reading about this and I'm reading about that. He goes, you know, what's true, what's garbage? And the truth is, all of it works, just not all of it is appropriate or ideal or optimized for you right now. So there's a bunch of good science out there, but identifying which starting point is the right entry point for you, that's critical. So having the science and then being able to execute quickly. People say to me, I know I need to eat better, or I need to do exercise, or I should do this, that, or the other. I tell them, I know you do. What I'm going to do is equip you with the tools to execute on those things quickly, so that way you can actually adopt it as part of your daily routine versus something that's too cumbersome to be sustainable. And so those are the two starting points and things that I think people need to define.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, let me ask you, so you mentioned that weight loss is the first thing people Google, the thing most people Google to find out about these things. And then how do you think most people choose their path? Is it an attractive commercial, a skinny man or woman on TV? It sounds
no.
easy. What do you think it boils down to?
people reach out to, you know, something that they can identify with, they can see themselves in. And so in this case, you know, appropriate to the theme of your show, probably the bulk of our clientele, you know, I mean, we're known for our work with the A-listers and the celebrities and the pro athletes, but the bulk of our clientele, they're executives. They're guys that have put their heart and soul into building a sustainable business. They have financial health. They have business health. And they're at a point in their lives where they're looking around and realizing, guess what? I should focus on my health. And maybe carrying around this extra 20 or 30 isn't the best idea for my longevity. Maybe it's not the best idea for my productivity. Maybe my personal health is part of my bottom line. And as they start coming to these realizations, they don't want gimmicks. What they want is they want to work with a consultant that specializes in this. This is what they do day in and day out. And so that's what our experts and our team is really geared for, is a very hands-on approach to helping somebody transform. And now we have tools, of course, to help people that want to, you know, are ready to enter at any level. And it all starts with specificity and the science of understanding the metabolism.
Yeah, let's take our average listener. They wake up early, they grab something quick out the door, probably a cup of coffee and something they can get to the office early so they can start their business up. They're under a lot of stress right from the beginning. They're go, go, go. Maybe they take a little time for lunch, and then you know, they go home exhausted. So they feel like, you know, there's never enough time to exercise as much, but they're running around all day long and their mind's always going. They're under a lot of stress. What are some of the biggest obstacles for those people when they say, you know, I really do want to transform. I don't want to die at my desk.
So, you know what, and I'd love to get to a few life hacks, but what really has to be the foundation is the addressing the elephant in the room. What should I do to, and I'm using weight loss just because 85% of people that reach out to us have a few pounds they want to lose or they want to cut body fat. But the same principle for whatever your goal is, whether it's performance, we work with endurance athletes, we work with cyclists, runners, whether it's muscle development. But again, 85% of people are trying to just get healthy and have an effective way of taking off the weight, and they want to know, what should I eat to do that? And there is an answer to that question. If somebody says you should do this, that, or the other without a proper evaluation of your metabolic circumstance, they're guessing. The truth is, what you really should do is baseline test. And that's not some, oh, you got to go in and get, you know, this blood work test, and you got to compare with this, you know, heart rate test, and you got to do that. It's really just basic common sense with a little bit of science applied. So what we do is we identify a starting point for someone, and we put them on a meal plan. And I do ask that our participants are a little bit more engaged, at least for the first 72 hours, so that way we can get a really accurate baseline. And what I'm going to do is put somebody on a meal plan that is fairly specific, but I know the macronutrients, I know the glycemic load, I know the caloric breakdown, I know all the details that go into this baseline testing meal plan. And then I'm going to evaluate how the person responds to it, because I've had 10,000 other people also do that baseline testing meal plan. And so I can say, you're, you know, 45-year-old male, or you're a 27-year-old female, or you're whatever, this demographic, that body type, this circumstance, here's averages. You should lose X amount of weight in 3 days, or you should gain X amount of weight in 3 days based on averages. Now, here's how you performed. And now what we have is a mathematic equation. Either you're going to gain weight, lose weight, or stay the same weight. That's the only three options. I mean, you might like the result, you might hate the result, but what you're going to get is you're going to get an accurate result. And now we can use that data to identify, okay, here is the path that's going to work best for you. Because there is a finite amount of levers, and everything really does boil down to a mathematical equation to identify which lever is going to be optimal for you. And so that's what our professional coaches, I mean the ones that work with the, you know, the red carpet folks, that's mm-hmm. the science that they apply, but that's the same algorithm that we have in our app. A lot of people these days ask about the tool that we have, and they tell me, you know, this is nothing like my Fitness Pal. It's like, yeah, no, I know. It's not a food logging tool. It's a analytics tool to basically say, here's the meal plan. Follow this. Now we're going to look at how your body responds, and based on that, it's going to spit out very precise calculations based on, oh, your metabolic rate is responding well. Evidence of that is you took in this intake and your body gained or lost this much weight. Therefore, here's how many grams of carbs, proteins, fats we're going to adjust. And oh, by the way, here's your breakfast, lunch, snacks, dinner, etc. And just lay it out for a person, constantly adjusting. So those are the same tools that we equip our professional coaches with, and nothing has changed, Bill. The science hasn't really evolved from 20 years ago when I would meet with someone who I'd ask, okay, tell me how you're eating. And then I would listen to them, and based on what they're used to doing, I would write down on a sheet of paper, okay, well, let's start. Here's a good breakfast for you. Here's a good lunch. And then I'd say, now come back in 6 weeks and we'll reevaluate how your body's responding. What's changed is technology allows us to have that interchange now, that exchange, instead of at 6 weeks, we can do that in 72 hours. Now, I know
great.
There's a lot of people that listen and say, well, wait a second, you can't tell everything you need to know in 72 hours of adhering to a program. But what we can get is enough indication to have enough quality data to start making small recommendations, and it start to evolve. So someone who's using the MetPro tools, their program will be exponentially more individualized and precise for them after 4 or 5 weeks of doing it than day one if they stick with it, because it's going to continue to learn that person's behaviors and metabolism and get more and more focused on exactly what they need. And so those are the tools that I'm really passionate about, and we spend most of our time in that space these days. But it's a lot of fun, though. We're able to help people transform
and get healthy. It's really, really interesting. And through you've taken all of this science and know that, hey, if you have a certain intake and you have a certain result, then this is happening, and this is will continue to happen. Now, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, what are some of the most critical life hacks for people that are super busy today?
Okay, I'll give you one of my favorites. So, of course, you know, a best life hack is coaching works, working with a consultant, a professional, someone to hold you accountable. Using tools works when you're using the right tools. So obviously we believe in that. That's what our company focuses on providing. If you're ready to just make one change and say, Angelo, I'm willing to do one thing tomorrow, here's what I want you to do. When you prepare your breakfast each morning, I want you to prepare an afternoon snack. It'll take you literally 60 seconds. Simple. Think portable, think non-messy, think quick, but something healthy. Fruit and nuts, anything simple and clean, you can come up with something you like. What that does, if you'll agree to do that, what that does is it sets you up for a day where we already are getting breakfast, and now you have an afternoon snack planned. And if you'll commit to me to get that afternoon snack, what it does is it puts your entire body and day into a disruptive cadence, good way, where now if you have breakfast, you'll probably have lunch. You won't overeat at lunch because you know you're going to have a snack. And that afternoon snack will stabilize your blood sugar so you don't have intense cravings in the evening, which leads to better choices at dinner, which leads to better compliance late at night, which just kind of resets your daily cadence in a good way. So people say, well, isn't breakfast the most important meal of the day? Perhaps, but I don't find compliance issues with breakfast. Most people are willing to have breakfast. It's that afternoon snack that really separates how someone's day is going to go. plan an afternoon snack. That's my life hack for the day.
That's good. That's really good. And that the stream of logic makes a lot of sense. If you do this, then you're not going to really want, you know, you're not going to really want to blow it in the afternoon. You're going to know what you're going to have, and then that's going to lead to a successful dinner. I think for a lot of our listeners, the nighttime is probably that what they're most afraid of, the snacking while they're doing nothing. What are some of the hacks for that time of day?
Yeah, you know, it's really common. So the biggest hack is to make sure you're going into the nighttime where you're not having these major blood sugar swings that trigger cravings. Now, assuming that you've got that dialed in, cravings from blood sugar don't change the fact that chocolate tastes good, right? So we still like it, and that's the time that most of us are finally relaxed and calm. And so what do? Well, the key is to have options that are not going to disrupt our goals. So we have a specific goal. We have specific objectives. Nobody's ever perfect. Life happens. But as a day-to-day cadence, we need to have good options. And so that can be a number of simple low-calorie recipes or high-protein recipes or items that someone can grab in the evening that will satisfy them, that they still enjoy, but aren't going to upset the apple cart as far as making progress towards their goal, particularly if weight loss is the main focus. Something that I do is I like an omelet in the evening if I'm actually hungry. I'll make an omelet with mostly egg whites. I'll put tons of veggies in it, and it's a high-protein, low-carb snack I have before bed if I'm actually hungry. If I'm just craving, then I like to usually make a mixture of something with Greek yogurt and berries and whip it up in the blender, and now I have something that's sweet that I can enjoy. So there's a number of options. You don't have to go with just one of those two, but things that you can do to mitigate those nighttime cravings.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is if it comes in a bag, it's probably not the right thing to eat late at night. And that's, you know, it's hard for a lot of people that still have kids in the house. They have snacks for the kids, and they probably should learn from this that those aren't good for them either. Those chips and things like that people might dig into at night times. So let's talk, we got a couple minutes left. Let's talk about
Sure.
the benefits of this program, the science behind it, not only for your body, but for your energy and your mind. A lot of people are focusing, there seems to be more and more commercials on improving memory and improving the brain and productivity. How does that all work in when you understand your metabolism and you are fueling your body?
So what I would say, and not to sidestep that question, but just that, you know, we've all heard it ad nauseum. Everybody knows the benefits when you're eating right, when you're exercising, when you have a healthy lifestyle, how it directly translates to better health, longevity, vitality, mental focus. We can go on and on and on. I'm not going to say anything new. Here's what I will say. As watching people's behaviors for decades now, what stops people from achieving those objectives is not a lack of acknowledging that, yes, I'm going to feel better, I'm going to perform better if I have a healthy, clean lifestyle. It's the piece that is missing that allows someone to put forth the effort to continue to drive for that, not just for a day or two, but ongoing. And here's the missing piece, in my opinion, progress. The greatest human motivator, in my opinion, is progress. And so if somebody is lacking the strategy or the science that's ideal for them, they'll put in all this work and they'll try for a week or two. And if they don't see progress, why are they pushing forward? Why are they continuing? We lose motivation. Whereas if we see progress, then you're going to keep it up. It's just going to enforce that habit. It's going to endear that routine to you, and you're going to continue to push forward with it. And that traces straight back to why I'm a proponent of evaluation and science, because that's going to deliver you the most progress.
Angelo, great stuff. I want to tell our listeners about the special offer you've so graciously allowed us to tell people about. Sign up now. You can use the metpro.co/exitcoach to receive a 14-day free trial of the MetPro app, the new MetPro app. And again, head to metpro.co/exitcoach. I'm looking at it right now. You'll find all the metabolic science, all the workouts, nutrition, coaching, support, great testimonials from people who have been using it and feeling a lot better as a result of it. Go there. If you're feeling stuck, if you need snack ideas, if you need help building a meal and tips for dining out, there are coaches to talk to online. And you're going to want to take advantage of this for the next 14 days. Free trial, metpro.co/exitcoach. Angelo Poli, thanks so much for joining us. Really interesting information. I look forward to looking into it myself, and I hope our listeners will as well.
The pleasure has been mine, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure. Hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to bow out now, and thanks again for listening to Exit Coach Radio today.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.